Scripture reading today will come from Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Amen. You may be seated, please. If you have your copy of the Bible this morning, if you would just hold it up, keep it up. Grass withers, flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Great to see all of those Bibles this morning. Great to see you this morning. We are grateful that you are here today. If you are a guest, as always, we are especially grateful for your presence, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us whenever you have the opportunity. If you are new with us this morning, last week we introduced our congregational focus for the year. And as you can see on the screen, it is magnify Christ. You see the magnifying glass there, and it's making the word Christ bigger. And that's kind of the idea. You take a magnifying glass and you make things bigger with them. We want to make Christ bigger this year. Not that we can ever really make him bigger. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's in a class all by himself. And yet we can allow him to be bigger in our hearts and bigger in our lives. We can allow him to have more of who we are and more of what we do as he rules and reigns in our lives to a greater degree than he ever has before. And that's what we're talking about this year. Our theme verse is Philippians 1:20. Where Paul says, with all boldness, now as always, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. That's an amazing verse written from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Lord willing, starting in February, we're going to unpack the context of that verse, and we're going to journey through the book of Philippians together. But during the month of January, we're focusing on some things that I just think are basic, fundamental aspects of what it means to magnify Christ and to allow him to be bigger in our lives. There are a couple of things that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks, but this morning I want us to think about magnifying Christ through gathered worship. If you grew up in churches of Christ like I did, maybe you had the same experience that I had. If the question was ever asked about a particular brother or a particular sister, is that person a faithful Christian? There were basically two factors that immediately came to the forefront as a measure of that person's faithfulness or unfaithfulness. One of those factors was their giving. Is he a faithful Christian? Is she a faithful Christian? Well, how much do they give? How often do they give? Are they generous in their contributions that they make to the church? The other factor was their church attendance. Is he a faithful Christian? Is she a faithful Christian? Well, how often do they attend church? Do they come to Sunday school? Do they come on Wednesday night? Do they come on Sunday night? Or are they Sunday morning only Christians? We even had a category and we call Sunday morning only Christians. It was almost as if, and this is the perception I got growing up, it was almost as if they were generous givers, and if they came every time the doors were open, then that person is a faithful Christian no matter what else might be true about his or her life. Anybody else kind of feel that way as you were growing up? That was just my perspective as a kid. I mean, they could be racist. They could tell off-color jokes. They could be known in the community in some way for being less than ethical. They could be treating their spouse like trash. And yet, they give and they come. And so, is that person a faithful Christian? We would answer, it seemed to me, well, yeah, they're a faithful Christian. To the extent that we gave people that impression, I think we were absolutely wrong in the way we approached that. There is so much more to being a follower of Christ than how much you give and how often you come. But even though there's more to being a Christian than those things, there really isn't less. You see, we tend to go to extremes as human beings. I guess it's just human nature that, you know, we will go to this extreme on this side and we will be so repulsed maybe by that extreme that we will go all the way to the other extreme in order to get away from the extreme we're so repulsed by. Some of us over the years have been so put off by the overemphasis that we used to put on giving and used to put on attendance, that maybe we've gone to the opposite extreme, and now we don't think giving and coming to worship really matters very much at all anymore. As is usually the case when you have extremes, the truth is found somewhere between them. And I believe that's the case this time as well. What we're going to try to do over the next few weeks is find balance and find truth as we dig into Scripture together. Lord willing, next week I plan to talk about giving and generosity. But this week I want us to consider, as I said, gathered worship and how that is actually a way that we magnify Christ in our lives. I want to share with you this morning several reasons why it is important for us to worship and gather together regularly. Now, I mentioned to Tim this morning, I borrowed these things from a blog post by Tom Rainer, kind of tweaked them a little bit because I think they're very good. And by the way, let me say something about several reasons. Several reasons. You notice how I worded that. Y'all have heard me say before, if I have 5 points or less, I will say, this morning we have 4 reasons. This morning we have 5 reasons. Why? Whatever. If I have more than 5 points, I will say this morning we have several reasons why we need to make gathered worship a vital part of our lives. So if you notice on your outline in the bulletin, we got several reasons this morning. Don't count them. I'll tell you how many there are at the end, all right? But I promise you, they're self-explanatory. We won't spend a lot of time on each one. Here's the first thing I want you to write down this morning. Why should gathered worship and gathering together as the body of Christ, why should that be something that's a vital part of my life in 2020? Well, it's because the local church was actually God's plan in the New Testament. When you read through the book of Acts, and then you begin to read the letters in the New Testament, Romans through Revelation, what you discover is the Bible is very clear. From the establishment of the first church in Jerusalem in Acts 2, to the growth of more congregations being planted throughout the Roman Empire, in all of that, it's obvious when God saved people by His grace, He wanted those saved people to now gather regularly and faithfully together. That was just His plan, as you read through the New Testament, that God's saved people would now gather together regularly and faithfully. Let me remind you, every single one of those local congregations that were formed when saved people began to gather together, every single one of them had problems. None of them were perfect. We know about the church in Corinth, right? When you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, obviously that church was messed up. They had all sorts of issues. Hey, but so was the church in Philippi. We're going to study Philippians in February. The church in Philippi was a great church. Paul loved that church. And yet when you read through the letter, they had some issues. They were not perfect. Not at all. All of those congregations had problems. All of them had problem people in them. I say that because sometimes someone will say something like, well, you know, I'm not going to waste my time going to church over there with those people because the church is just full of hypocrites. You ever heard that? The church is just full of hypocrites. Listen, the church has always been full of hypocrites. Always. Even in the New Testament, right? Even in the early days of Christianity, in the early days of the church, hypocrisy was real. And hypocrisy was widespread. But here's what it wasn't. It wasn't an excuse to give up on the local church. It wasn't then, and it still isn't. It still isn't. I will tell you, I've said it so many times, I wish I knew how many times I've said it in the 8 years I've been here, almost 8 years. This is not a perfect church. I say that to our guests often. We are not a perfect church. We're trying our best to honor a perfect God. and to serve a perfect Savior. But we are not a perfect church. We've got our problems here. We probably got our share of hypocrites here. But the fact still remains, the local church was God's plan in the New Testament. And that plan hasn't changed. Look at Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Paul says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." Glory is to be brought to God the Father through Christ Jesus forever, right? That's one way God's going to be glorified and magnified forever through Christ Jesus. But notice, he also mentions the church. Through the church, glory would be brought to God the Father throughout all generations, forever and ever. That's God's plan. It was a part of God's plan then. It really still is. Let me give you another reason why gathered worship needs to be a priority for you in 2020. The local church not only was God's plan in the New Testament, it was a priority in the lives of the New Testament Christians. It was a priority. Again, when you read Acts through Revelation, you'll find that the gathered church was not just one important factor in the lives of those Christians, but it was one of the highest priorities in their lives. You know, when Jesus went to the cross, and Jesus was buried, and Jesus was raised, and he ascended back to his Father in heaven. When he physically left this earth, do you know what the early church came to view themselves as and how they saw themselves? They literally saw themselves as now the body of Christ on earth. His physical body isn't here anymore. He has ascended back to heaven. But they saw themselves as the body of Christ on this earth. And they took that very, very seriously. Gathering as the church was not something that they kind of just squeezed into their schedule if there wasn't something more important going on, but rather the gathering of the body was the most important thing going on, and everything else fit in their life around that. It was something that was a priority to them. You know this. If we're not careful, and we've all experienced it, if we're not careful, we can allow so many other things, even so many good things, to become the best things. And we allow those good things even to have a priority in our lives that maybe they don't deserve. So maybe 2020 is a good time for us to examine our priority list and see if maybe the gathered church has unintentionally slid down our priority list a little bit as a family and as individuals. Because to the early Christians, it was the priority in their lives, and everything else revolved around that. Let me give you another reason why gathering with the church is important this year. We're commanded and designed to enjoy worshiping God as a gathered community. We're commanded and designed to enjoy worshiping God as a gathered community. God has just hardwired us to need to worship together and to enjoy worshiping together. And therefore, he just expects that we're going to worship together, right? I want you to imagine something with me this morning. Did you bring your imagination with you today? I want you to imagine something. What if we really did one thing when we gathered to worship? What if we really did one thing when we gathered to worship? Just one thing. What if we asked God to let us see Him and know Him fully as we gather together? What if that one thing was our focus? God, I want to see you and know you more fully today. What if that was the priority over evaluating the songs or the song leader? I don't like that song leader. He's too fast. I don't like that song leader. He's too slow. I don't like those songs. They're too new. I don't like those songs. They're too old. What if seeing God and knowing Him fully was more important than whether the sermon went 5 minutes longer than it should because the preacher had to have 9 points in his sermon for some reason? You know, what if our focus was on knowing Him more fully and seeing Him as we worship? That's why we come together, right? What do you think our worship would be like if all of us were focused on God? Well, the fact is we're commanded and designed to enjoy worshiping to God as a gathered community. It's a time where collectively we put our focus on Him. And to give you another reason why gathered worship is important, it's because a unified church can stand strong in a culture that's turning away from God. Have y'all noticed that our culture is not as godly as it used to be? Have you noticed that, generally speaking, our culture is becoming more ungodly? You probably have. Actually, our culture is becoming more like first century culture was when the New Testament Christians first became the body of Christ. Our culture is becoming more like their culture. So maybe the question we need to ask is, what did they do, right? If our culture is becoming more like theirs, what did they do in order to reach out to a culture that was turning away from God? Well, think about it. What did the Jerusalem church do to reach out to a culture in Jerusalem that was opposed to God? I want you to look at what they did. Acts 2, 46 and 47. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What did they do? The outside world looked at them and they saw their unity and they saw their joy, and they wanted to know more about this Jesus that they worshiped. That's what they did. That might be a good thing for us to do too. See, it is crucial that we are a unified church. We can't really be a unified church with sporadic attendance. We just can't. We can't stand together if we aren't consistently gathered together. It's so important. A unified church, as Acts 2 demonstrates, a unified church is going to be an evangelistic church, and it's going to have an impact on the culture around it because people will see our joy, and they will see our unity, and they'll wonder, what in the world is that all about? And they'll want to know more about the Jesus whom we serve. Let me give you another reason, and this one's closely connected with the last one. Why should gathered worship be important in 2020? It's because the world looks at our priorities and they evaluate what we really believe is important. The world looks at our priorities and they evaluate what we really believe is important. And again, this sort of ties in with the previous point. One of the ways we impact our culture is through the unity and joy of our gathered worship. They see that. They want to know more about this Jesus that we worship. Well, expanding on that a little bit, think about this. We can't really expect people around us to get excited about our church if we're not excited about our church. Does that make sense? We can't expect anybody out there to get excited about our church if we're not excited about it. I mean, if the church is low on our priority list, and maybe we come, I don't know, once a month or twice a month or when something more important's not happening, how are folks out there ever going to be attracted to what we have in here? You can just mark it down. If we're not excited in here, they're not going to be excited out there. They're going to look at our priorities, and they're going to evaluate what we really believe is important. That's why gathered worship matters, because the world's watching. Let me give you another reason. Why is gathered worship important? Because accountability takes place within the local church. Accountability. That's a word that in my generation almost became a dirty word. Accountability. That's a bad, no, we don't want to talk about accountability. It was abused in some circles, and because of the abuse of accountability, we don't even want to talk about accountability. But listen, accountability is important. All accountability says is you were not meant to do the Christian life by yourself. That's all it means. I was not meant as a saved person now to just do life by myself. I was meant to do life in community with other people who help hold me accountable to my commitment to Christ. That's not a bad thing. That is a good thing. When we gather to worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the things we're doing is we're lifting each other up, but we're also holding each other accountable. And when you're not here, you may think nobody notices. You may think nobody cares. But I'm telling you, when you're not here, people notice. Your absence is felt. And it does matter. You need someone to hold you accountable in love. We need somebody who's looking out after us. It is not good and it is not healthy to have nobody know what's going on in your life spiritually. That's kind of the American way, though, right? We're rugged individualism. I got this thing. I can do this thing all by myself. Nobody else needs to know what's going on in my life spiritually. That's my business. That's good American theology, but that's bad biblical theology. It's not healthy when nobody knows what's going on in your life spiritually. We need accountability. And that's one of the reasons God has taken us and placed us within a local body. Let me give you another reason why it matters. Gathered worship matters because families that attend church faithfully and regularly are happier and they are healthier. I say that because every secular research study that is done points to the same thing. Every single one of them, you look at them, they all say the same thing. They're not coming from a Christian perspective, they're coming from a secular perspective. And yet they look at it and they say, families who attend worship together on a regular basis have the best adjusted children, they have the healthiest marriages, they have the best chance of small children growing into mature adults full of genuine joy. That's just what the secular studies indicate, right? And I'm glad to see those studies. I'm glad for the affirmation those studies give us. But guess what? The New Testament said that all along, right? The New Testament shows us God has a clear plan, God has a compelling plan for people to plug in, for families to plug in, and to do life in community, and to have that community bless their family and bless their marriage. That's God's way. Families that attend church faithfully and regularly are healthier and happier. Another reason why gathered worship should be important in your life this year. It's because discipleship takes place in the local church. Discipleship. There's a word that, boy, if I had a dollar for every article I read about discipleship now. Everybody's talking about discipleship. Everybody's focusing on discipleship. What is it? There seems to be just this mystery around discipleship. What is it? How do we do it? How does the local church fit into that? Listen, discipleship, basically, we think of discipleship, we think it just means making somebody a Christian. That's part of it. But that's not where it ends. Discipleship basically means helping someone become more like Jesus in practical ways in their life. That's discipleship. Helping someone become more like Jesus in practical ways in their life. And people write about that as if it's some major mystery. How do we do that? How does the church, the local church, fit into that? Well, listen, think about it. If discipleship is just becoming more like Jesus, and it is, we become more like Jesus as we gather and worship together. We become more like Jesus when we belong to a smaller group, like a class, or maybe a ministry group that's doing life together in some way. We become more like Christ when we sit under and listen to the preaching of the Word every week. We become more like Christ when we do ministry and when we do evangelism together through our local church family. Now, I don't think there's any doubt, and please don't hear me say this. I don't think there's any question that discipleship can take place through other experiences and other relationships outside of the local body. I don't think there's any question about that. Sure they can. But God intended for the local church to be plan A when it comes to discipleship. To help me grow to be more like Jesus, what's God's plan to do that? It all centers around the local church. Discipleship takes place in a local church setting. And let me give you one more reason this morning why gathered worship should be important in 2020. It's because God gives us great joy when we serve others through the local church. Great joy. Now, to be sure, there are probably some grumpy and miserable people who are church members. The old saying used to be when I was growing up, they look like they had been baptized in pickle juice. Y'all ever heard that when you're growing up? Grumpy, miserable. That's true in every church. That's probably true in our church. And one of the things that those folks, wherever they might be, seem to have in common, one of the traits they seem to possess in common is this. Something in the church isn't going their way. They are not getting their preferred worship style. They're not getting themselves fed. They don't like some things that the elders do because it's not their way. You get it? Their focus is kind of on three people, me and myself and I. It all centers around me. And listen, when it all centers around me, I'm going to be a miserable, grumpy human being. But when it doesn't center around me, I can experience incredible joy as I'm serving others and as I take others and elevate them above myself and serve their needs and not focus on my own preferences and my own wishes and my own desires, but it is about serving others. We experience great joy when we serve each other and when we serve our community through the local church. Well, those are 9 reasons. You didn't think I was going to get through them that quickly. Y'all were worried. Y'all were looking at your watch going, I don't know, 9 points. These are 9 reasons why gathered worship needs to be important this year. They're not the only 9 reasons, okay? You could think of many, many, many more. But I think they're enough to jar our minds and our hearts to say, yeah, this is something that is important. It needs to be a vital part of how I magnify Christ with my life this year. I thought about how I wanted to close this morning, and I decided I wanted to do this. I have seen several people post on Facebook, not just here, but throughout my friend list, the last few weeks and months, a little saying that says this. Maybe you have seen this posted. If you're not on Facebook, don't worry, you see it on the screen. If your absence doesn't affect them, then your presence never mattered. Have y'all seen that shared on Facebook recently? If your absence doesn't affect them, then your presence never really mattered. Can I tell you something? You may feel like it doesn't really matter whether you're here or not here when your church family gathers to worship. You may feel like, oh, nobody really notices. Nobody maybe even really cares whether I come or not. We probably have all felt that way at some point in our walk with Jesus. But listen to me this morning. Your presence matters because you matter. You get that? Your presence matters because you matter. And when we gather to worship and you're not here, it does affect us. Because you're a part of the body and you're a part of our family and you matter. I guess that's the main thing I want you to take with you from the sermon this morning. You matter. You matter to God. You matter to your church family in Athens. We need you. And we need each other. So here's what I'm going to ask you to consider committing yourself to this year as we seek to magnify Christ. I'm going to ask you to consider seriously this year to say, I'm going to gather with my church family whenever I possibly can. This is going to be the year where I'm not going to let so many other things become a higher priority. I'm going to make gathering with my family a priority this year. I'm going to ask you to consider plugging into a Bible class on Sunday morning if you're not there. I'm going to ask you to plug in, if you can, to a class on Wednesday morning or Wednesday evening. I'm going to ask you to plug in to Sunday night, whether we're doing overflow like we did last week. And by the way, we had a great crowd, a great group come for our overflow last week. I pray that continues. Whether it's overflow, whether it's the celebration fellowship that we do tonight, whether it's the book discussion group that's getting ready to kick off next Sunday night, I'm going to ask you to consider making it a priority to plug into those things. I know we probably used to abuse how we looked at Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and you know, you can't go to heaven if you don't check the mark that says you were there. I understand all that. But again, don't run past that and run to the other extreme, right? And just say, well, obviously that doesn't matter. Don't do that. It does matter because you matter. You matter. You're a part of the body here, and we need each other. See, the bottom line of all this is this. These nine reasons are great reasons why we need to make gathered worship a priority. But the bottom line reason above everything else is this. It's just an act of obedience to God. It's an act of obedience to God that says to Jesus, you are what I choose to magnify in my life over everything else. And that's what matters. That's what matters. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time this morning. I pray for us as a body. God, I thank you for the blessing that this church is to my life and to each other's life. I thank you for the blessing this church is to our community. I thank you for each person that is a part of this body and the role that they play here. God, I pray each person here this morning would understand just how vital they are and just how needed they are, and that, God, they would plug in and seek to be a part of the body, an involved, attached part of the body in every way. God, there may be some folks here this morning that aren't followers of your Son, and they're not a part of your body. I pray for them as well, that they would see the beauty of your Son and be attracted to Him this morning. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the one who brings us together. Thank you for the one who, regardless of our background, regardless of our standing in society, regardless of who we've been and where we've been, thank you for the one, God, who because of His grace makes us one and brings us together. We pray, God, that Jesus is exalted today. It's in His name we pray. Amen. This morning, if you're not a part of the body of Christ, if you're not a follower of Jesus, one of our elders is going to be down front. We'd love to tell you more about what it means to follow Jesus and how when you give your life to Him and you put your faith in Him and trust in Him and are baptized into Him, when you then arise as it was to walk a new life, now that's not the end, that's the beginning. Now, God's put you in a body to help grow you to be more like Jesus. If you've never done that, today would be a good day to do that. For the rest of us, I just want to challenge you to think about and examine your own life and your own priorities. Nobody can do that for you. Only you can do that. Look at your priority list. Think about where the church is. If you need to make some changes, make them. The Lord needs you. We need you. You come if we can help you this morning in any way as we stand and as we worship God together. When we walk